Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
No, I think you. I think when you play a Major League Baseball game, you evaluate every time we go out there. You're evaluating, and it's no different now.
Now that's talking to Brian Snicker, manager of the Braves, talking about Julio Teheran giving up 6 runs and 6 hits. And 2 1/3, not doing himself any favors. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves lost again to the Royals for whatever reason. Thank God we're not playing, Hugh, the Royals in the playoffs because we can't beat them bums.
Matchups.
Jeez.
Matchups.
Man. So Brian Snicker more, and we'll get to the Julio Teheran thing in just a moment. And the question is to whether or not Julio Teheran will make the postseason roster. All right?
Woo!
Yeah. Let's begin with an update on Ronald Acuna. Started the game last night. And then had to exit the game in the second inning with a tightness in his hip. Here's Brian Snicker.
It was bothering him. He felt it when he pushed off, so he just didn't want to take any chances. You know, he wanted another at bat, and I was like, that's all you need to do is come out of the box and something go. So he felt it on that one ball at Lopez, that ground ball he hit that was kind of pierced in between him and Nicky. So it was just, you know, we'll just be day-to-day. We'll treat him up and see how he is tomorrow.
You know, that sounds like we're going to shut him down for a few days. Hugh, the 40-40 might be out the window.
Yeah, it might be. But, you know what? Nice little try. Nice old college try. At this point, you want bigger fish. You're going for the bigger fish. You don't want it to be something where if he comes out there tonight and something happens, that it makes it worse. Now, the story that I read this morning said that, you know, they're going to, you know, he's not ruled out for tonight's game. He's not ruled out, but if he wakes up in the morning and he's feeling a little tight or whatever, I don't think Brian Snicker takes a chance with that.
Then there's the pitching issue because Mike Soroka was slated to start tonight, but he will not start tonight. No, he's fine. Nobody's injured. Brian Snicker and company just kind of rejigged.
Speculation on what the rotation is going to be.
And it's what he said.
You know what? We decided late this afternoon we're going to, you know, just to give him a little blow here and you know, it's been a long year, and it's not going to hurt him to have a few days off. We'll start him Sunday, and then see where it goes from there. We'll start Tomlin tomorrow.
That is today, of course. Josh Tomlin's going to get the start today. Now, that's leading to a lot of speculation. The Soroka issue is one thing. It's leading to speculation, Hugh, that he may not be – he still could be the Game 2 starter because he'd pitch Sunday, and he wouldn't pitch again until Friday in Game 2 because the playoffs don't even start till next third, till a week from Thursday.
Or maybe it's an audition for Tomlin.
Maybe
it's an audition for Tomlin.
Because I think if you're sitting down and breaking down the bullpen here, you have to make a final decision, and I'm just going to go through who's going to be there. With the outing that Julio had last night, maybe they said maybe less about Soroka and where he starts in the playoffs and more about, hey, we got to get a good look at Josh Tomlin right now so we can make a decision between Julio and Josh Tomlin. So for the Braves, okay, let's say that this is a numbers game, and I'm going to go as slow as I can because I know you don't have a pen and paper in your car here.
I got sheets of paper. I'm writing it down. Go for it. Take your time.
Okay, so there are going to be three starters that we know of in Keuchel and Foltynewicz and Soroka. Okay, in some order.
We could put checks by their names.
Okay. That will leave you, if you're carrying 11 pitchers, which it looks likely, with 8 guys in the bullpen, one of whom or might be a starter, maybe 2 of whom might be a starter. 8 guys in the bullpen. That includes Max Fried, that's 1. Sean Newcomb, that's 2. 2 guys that could start. Your 3 closers, Chris Martin, Shane Green, and Mark Melancon. So that's 5 of the 8. So you have 3 spots left, all right? 3 spots left. And you have 6 pitchers, Hugh. Julio Teheran, Luke Jackson, Darren O'Day, who's pitched very well, by the way.
Yeah, I was just looking at that, too. And you were talking about Darren O'Day because he pitched yesterday. He's 2.45 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Man. I'm looking at it from my perspective, John. I'm really looking at it from the hot hand perspective and maybe the ERA and how many games you've been actually in. He hasn't had any decisions, no wins or no losses. But that 2.5 ERA to me looks very, very enticing.
Yeah, he just got back and he's dealing. And then you have so it's Julio, Luke Jackson, Darren O'Day, Jeremy Blevins, Josh Tomlin, who's going to get the start tonight, and Anthony Swarzak. And three of those six are going to make it, and three of those six will not. Now let's take a look at this. I believe that Anthony Swarzak is not making the roster. He's been very good for the team. He was better than I expected him to be when he came over from Seattle in the middle of the year. But I'm going to scratch Anthony Swarzak. So that means three of the five.
Ooh. Okay.
So now this is where Josh Tomlin, and you kind of circle him today, is really important for him. If he goes out and has a good outing, I think Blevins is going to make the team. I'm going to circle him. I think Jeremy Blevins, because he could be a situational left-handed guy to come in and get one out for you when you need a lefty-on-lefty matchup, and you don't have to just waste, no offense, Max Fried on a one-batter situation.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Blevins, right?
Yeah, so I think Blevins is going to make the squad, so I'm going to circle him. So that's one in and one out. Now you have four guys left for two spots. Tomlin, O'Day, Luke Jackson, and Julio. Two of those guys are not going to make the postseason roster.
I said early this morning that I thought it would be Julio because of the relationship that he has with Brian Snicker. But the more and more I think about it, John, this ain't about relationships. This is about winning. This is about trying to win a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And if Julio Teheran doesn't have it right now, then you have to go with somebody that's going to give you something and it's going to be productive for you. So I'm kind of leaning a little bit away towards Julio Teheran. That'd be kind of a tough spot to be in, though. Because he was my guy last year. He was my guy in the bullpen last year. And to leave him off the roster, that means you're probably going to move on from him. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with it. If you leave Julio Teheran off of this roster, you're kind of sending the message that he's probably not going to be here.
Well, I scratched Anthony Swarzak. Jerry Blevins goes in. That means you're going to be picking between Tomlin and Julio, and that's why I think Tomlin is starting tonight, because you're trying to make
that
final decision.
Makes sense. When you put it in that perspective, that makes a lot of sense, because Julio is your guy. Julio is a guy that last year he got demoted to the bullpen. I think you put him out there for one inning during the playoffs last year.
Yes,
didn't you? You put him out there for one inning last year. You can't do that. Only way you leave Julio off is if you're saying, like, okay, at the end of the season, Julio's not going to be here. That's how I look at it.
We are discussing the Braves bullpen and who's going to be left off this roster. We'll talk about the position players tomorrow and who might be left off. There's also potential for a surprise in the starting lineup for this team. And this, by the way, I should just update you on a couple of things about position players. One is that Ender Inciarte is with the team. He is running in Kansas City. He's going to run again today, but they're going to make a decision today as to whether they're going to take him to New York for the final series of the year. There's some thought that he might go down to Florida and play three or four games down there in the instructional league and then get ready for the – so you can expect – at this point, I think you can fairly expect Ender Inciarte to be on the postseason roster. Back to this, though, with the pitchers here. If Blevins is in – but to your point here, because you were spot on, Julio Teheran pitched one inning last year. And after that one inning, we were sitting around here on this show after the season was over going, if they're only going to throw Julio Teheran one inning, the guy that's been your ace, well, then they got to get rid of him. They didn't. They kept him. He was very effective for them. But I'm with you. I think if they're going to do this again and they're going to leave him off the postseason roster, at some point you got to part ways.
You know what? And to be honest, I didn't think about that until this morning we were talking about it. Because, like, to try to figure out who's going to be in your rotation for this first series, that's kind of tough, because I tried to simplify it as much as I possibly could. I started by wins and losses, and then I moved to the ERA. But, it's kind of hard to measure through that. Then you went to how many games you're in, games you started, what games you were in, and things of that nature. So it's kind of hard. But when I got to thinking about the relationships that Brian Snicker has with his players, and the fact that he says his players are like his kids. Julio Teheran is one of his kids. And to go from the opening day starter to not being on the roster for the playoffs, I understand that, Julio might look at it like, I don't deserve to be here. But, dude, I've been your ace since day one. That might be a tough pill to swallow. And that's how I kind of looked at it. Like, Julio might be a stand-up guy and say, hey, I understand, I get it. But I don't know that for sure. And I don't know how he's going to respond to if he's left off this roster. I don't know how that he reacts to that.
We're talking about the Braves and pitching, and we don't want to jump too far ahead to next year when we're talking about, you know, Fried and Soroka, and, you know, how does Bryce Wilson fare into all this, and guys like that, and is Sean Newcomb going to be a starter again, and Dallas Keuchel and whatnot, and Mike Foltynewicz. But,
But I think, not to cut you off, John, but I think you have, in this situation, you kind of have to look at that, because if you're seriously thinking about, like, if we're talking about putting Tomlin on the mound tonight,
mm-hmm.
and Julio didn't pitch well yesterday, you're seriously thinking about doing that. Like, even though you're not, you know, you're in the moment and you're thinking about now and you're hoping that the player can understand now, he might not understand that.
Right.
He might not look at it like that. He might look at it like, you know, I've been here for you and, you know, I've done everything that's been asked of me and this is how you do me. This is the way you handle me. Even though the manager's looking at it like, hey, man, I'm trying to win games. He might look at it differently. He might not want to be here after that.
Well, you know, he did himself no favors. And even the manager said, you know, he said, look, hey, you know, two and third innings, six hits, six runs. I'm putting words into his mouth because we're extrapolating, obviously, with Brian Snicker. But last night, Julio may have played himself off the roster for the postseason, at least for the Cardinals series. Now, a seven-game series against, you know, potentially the Dodgers, you know, maybe you revisit this depending on what guys do in this series against the Cardinals. But, you know, presuming you win against the Cardinals. But, yeah, Julio Teheran might have played himself off. This is why, though, Josh Tomlin is starting tonight, because I think there's a decision to be made. Okay, we're going to pick between Luke Jackson and Darren O'Day, and we're also going to pick between Julio Teheran and Josh Tomlin.
You know what's funny? I know Reddy can't stand Luke Jackson, but I think in the position that you're pitching Luke Jackson in, I think he needs to be on the roster. I think he's another guy that's probably – he has his position locked. I know that's not Randy's favorite guy. What do you call him, 7-7? That's not his favorite guy.
And that may be the case, by the way. Luke Jackson and Darren O'Day could make the team, and Tomlin and Julio could be. If Tomlin doesn't pitch well tonight, maybe Luke Jackson is on this team. Maybe the decision isn't Julio and Tomlin. Maybe it's Luke and Tomlin. I don't know.
But Dr. Kevin Sanders just chimed in. He said, boy, if Teheran doesn't make the roster, oh, man. I don't know what that means, but that doesn't sound like it means it's good. Like, if he doesn't make the roster, what happens? And Abe, the producer's in there talking about, who cares? I understand that, but you're like – as a manager, you have to think long term. You have to, especially with decisions like this. Because we all know that some players can be kind of sensitive. Some players, you know, are stand up. Let me pull that back, because I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying that Julio Teheran is not a stand up guy. That's not what I'm saying. But some guys might look at this as a diss. They might look at this as being disrespectful. Especially coming into the season and him being asked to be your opening day pitcher.
And consider, you know what, that's another great point, Hugh. I mean, he was asked to be your opening day pitcher, yet last year in the playoffs they put him in the pen and only used him once.
Yes.
Hugh, even
he's been a guy that hasn't made any waves.
Right, he's been a team player.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you very much.
And by the way, he could still make this roster and just sit out in the pen and do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. He and I had to ask Abe this morning, like, you know, Abe basically jumps in my ear and say, "Are you here to win games, or are you here to win? You know, make people happy." That's the balancing act that you're gonna have to have. Like, you're talking about, like, players trust coach. Players trust their coaches, and that's why they run through brick walls for them and they play hard for them. But when you feel like, or if he feels like he's been betrayed, that changes everything. That changes everything. And I know for Brian Snicker, that's probably something that he's weighing it against. He's weighing it against this magical special team being potentially, you know, being able to win a World Series and putting the best roster he can together against friendships. That's a tough spot to be in. And that's why you have a lot of coaches and a lot of managers. They try to separate themselves from that. They walk that thin line of being a friend to the player, but also being in that tough position to make those tough moves.
But I think you're absolutely right, Hugh. I think if Julio Teheran does not make this postseason roster, that's an indication that he is no longer returning to the team. John in Athens. Hey, John.
John.
Hey. Yes, sir.
What's going on? Good morning.
Well, listen, guys. I don't want to see Julio Teheran in another Braves uniform ever again. How many times have we seen this guy go out there and just, you know, blow the games, give up so many of our runs, And then he goes out and has two or three starts in a row that, you know, he looks fantastic. And all our Braves fans go, oh, my God, Julio Teherán looks so good. But then he goes out and lays another egg. Like, I'm so sick of his inconsistency with him. As far as I'm concerned, leave him off the postseason roster, get him off the roster period. We should have traded him 2 years ago. When he got hot, we probably had some value for him. But now he ain't worth squat. So, you know, in my opinion, don't even have him on the roster. And after this season, get rid of him. Get him out of town. We don't need him.
Well, yeah, that's pretty strong words from John in Athens. May get his wish here. That's going to be really one of the interesting things. Do Luke Jackson and Julio Teherán make this roster or not? And then tomorrow we'll ask the question, does Austin Riley make the roster? We'll also ask the question, does Dansby Swanson go to the bench? That'll be tomorrow. And that could happen. He better start playing. Michael Parkhurst, Atlanta United team captain, soon to be Atlanta United retired team captain. We'll talk with Michael Parkhurst about what's ahead for a big game tonight with Atlanta United and NYCFC. We'll get the inside story after a CBS Sports Minute.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Fairburn.
What's happening?
It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Joseph up slowly, favoring his right leg.
Sure is. Still is not steady on his feet. They are bringing the stretcher all the way across the park. Now, don't be too concerned about that. This is the soccer stretcher, not a backboard, to take Joseph Martinez off the pitch.
How will Atlanta United deal with the possibility that Joseph Martinez could be out for them for, you know, a game, two games, or more? It's going to be one of the interesting questions as they try and push for the number one seed with a critical game tonight at Yankee Stadium against NYCFC. We welcome into the program now Michael Parkhurst, team captain of Atlanta United, who joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Michael.
Morning, John. Morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Mike. I got to ask, man, what went into the decision to retire at the end of the season?
Yeah, it's something I've been thinking about for a while. You know, it doesn't just pop up. You know, even before the season started, I thought, you know, this could possibly be the last one. You never know. And, you know, as the season goes on, you keep thinking about it and you see how your body's doing and how it's reacting to everything. And, you know, I probably made the decision probably a couple months ago, you know, long before, you know, I wasn't playing regularly. And then it just came to, you know, when do I announce, when do I decide to tell everybody? And, you know, talking with some people here at the club, we decided to do it this week. And then, so I can enjoy, now that it's off my shoulders, I can, you know, breathe a little bit easier and, you know, try to enjoy these last, hopefully, 2 months.
You know what, I got to say, Mike, I commend you for that, because I never myself got a chance to leave the game the way that I wanted to. I got kicked out. So with that being said, the range of emotions and everything that you're going through, knowing that this is your last hoorah, and this is something you've been doing for so long.
Yeah, I know. I know I am fortunate in that regard, that, you know, I know before the season's over that, hey, this is it. So I think in that regard, I'm able to enjoy every training session a little bit more, enjoy the game days, you know, even if I'm not playing. Just the experience of being on the bench, being a part of a professional team, you know, you don't take it for granted. And, you know, I feel like I haven't throughout my career, but it's even more special, you know, these last few, knowing that they're my last. So it's bittersweet. You know, I'm excited about the future. I'm excited to spend the weekends with the family and watch the kids play their sports. But, yeah, obviously it's sad to end that part of my life, because, you know, soccer's been it since, you know, I was a little kid. And, you know, obviously I hope to stay in the game, you know, when I'm done playing. But as far as playing, this is it.
Michael Parkhurst, team captain of Atlanta United. So what is next? Do you say stay in the game? Are you head coach Michael Parkhurst at some point?
Definitely not in the near future. And, you know, like I said, for me, the best thing about retiring will be to spend the weekends with the family and the kids and watching their sports. And, you know, as a professional in basically any sport, that includes weekends. So for now, I won't be a full-time employee of a professional team. But I do want to stay in the game. I want to have an impact on the youth. I want to impart some of the wisdom that I've gained throughout my career and help the game along here in the U.S. I don't know what that looks like right now and how I'll be able to do that. But, you know, I would like to do that in some capacity.
Talking with Michael Parkhurst. All right, let's talk about the game tonight. We'll talk about retirement. You got something to do before you hang them up, okay? Big game tonight. I mean, you still pushing the number one seed. You know, I do. Tell me a little bit about playing at this against the number one seed currently in the East, NYCFC, at Yankee Stadium on that smaller pitch, and what you guys have to do tonight to win.
Yeah, it's a massive game. We know that first place is within reach for us again, and that's even more important this year than it has been in the past. If you come in first place, you win two home games and you're in MLS Cup. That's it. So it's really important to try and win that first seed in the East. And if we beat NYCFC tonight, we're a point behind with just a couple games left, so anything can happen. But it's I probably would say the toughest place to play in MLS just because of the size of the field. And how New York City play on their home field. You know, they're obviously more used to it, playing more games there, and they've kind of figured out how to deal with it. And away teams that only go there once a year, it's challenging. Now, we know we have played there before, and we were successful, obviously, in the playoffs last year when we beat them 1-0. You have to be ready for the physicality of the game. Because the field is so small, there's less space, there's more challenges, more duels. Things happen a lot faster. Transition happens even quicker, so you have to be ready on both sides of the ball for things to change, you know, rapidly. And other than that, we have to try and go play our game, impose our will against them, be ready to suffer a little bit in some points of the game because they're a very good team. But they're a team that we handled well at home, so that should give us confidence tonight.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. We're talking to team captain of Atlanta United, Michael Parkhurst. Mike, now you've had six games this year without Joseph Martinez. How has that time without him on the pitch helped prepare you for now since he's not going to be out there for what little while?
Yeah, it's important to know that you know, everything's not lost when you lose one player, even if it's Joseph. You know, don't get me wrong. He's the best goal scorer the league's ever seen. So, of course, we're going to miss his presence on the field. You know, but we've got other guys that are capable of scoring goals. You know, Brandon Vasquez had a great run in the Open Cup and a few good games in between. So he's feeling confident. We've got Tito Villalba finally healthy and looking fit. So that's important for our team. You know, without Joseph, we've got other guys that can step in and provide something different. You know, as far as, you know, Brandon's physicality and Tito's pacing behind. Guys that bring different attributes. Of course, no one can do exactly what Joseph does in regard to putting the ball in the net. But, you know, all of us are just going to have to work harder to create, you know, better chances for whoever is up there.
Talking with Michael Parkhurst, team captain of Atlanta United. One other question about that, because you and I were discussing this the other day. Do you have a say? Who do we think might be the team captain next year? Will you have any say in that or put your two cents in, so to speak?
I wouldn't think that I'll have a say. You know, that'll be dependent on who's on the team, and you know, I guess it would be up to Frank and Carlos as well. You know, but Jeff is the vice captain right now, and so if he's back, it would go to him most likely. You know, Brad has been the captain a lot this year, and he'll definitely be back. So you know, he would be a likely candidate as well. You know, Julian Gressel stepped up, Leandro. You know, those guys would probably be next in line or next in the conversation to take over. But you know, full confidence in whoever does take over.
All right, so take a look at it from a soccer analyst standpoint, Michael Parkhurst. Talk about that back line that you've been such a part of and the importance of, you mentioned LGP and Brad Guzan, two of those, and, of course, the ascendance of Miles Robinson as a player here. Talk about the importance of the back line. We know about Joseph and the attack, but if this team is going to win an MLS Cup, that back line is going to have to be rock solid.
Absolutely. It definitely has to. I mean, just like any other sport, defense wins championships. And in the playoffs, goals are harder to come by, and your defense has to be stout. You have to go out there, and you have to make plays. And that's what we did last year successfully in the playoffs. I think we gave up one or two goals our whole run. So, it'll be important again this year, down the stretch and into the playoffs. Guys are going to have to step up and play well, and they have recently. And the way that we play puts a lot of stress on defense. There are a lot of one-on-one battles, a lot of space that guys have to cover. It's a tough challenge for those guys, but, if we want to be champions, that's what's going to have to happen. That's the way the league is right now. It's the onus is on the defenders to stop these attackers. And, these are high-paid attackers that are, looked at as be the best players in the league. So, it's definitely a challenge, but our guys have played well throughout the year. Miles is, I think, the defender of the year in MLS, and I hope he wins it. And the other guys have been, right there with him. So, it'll be fun to watch him to rise up to that challenge.
Well, Michael, I know I speak for a lot of people when I say thank you very much. Congratulations on the cups that you have been part of here, MLS Cup, Campeones, and
being able to leave on your own terms.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, you don't know how envious I am of that. Like, to be a professional athlete, to play at the high level that you've played at, and to be able to leave on your own terms, man, that has to be a special thing. Has to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very fortunate, definitely. I've had a long and successful and healthy career, so nothing but positives, absolutely. Way more ups than downs, and it's been a fantastic ride.
Thank you, Michael, and
thanks
we look
lot,
forward
man.
To the game
you.
Tonight, a big game against NYCFC. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys, as always. Appreciate it.
Michael Parkhurst, Atlanta United team captain. Our coverage tonight begins at 6:30 with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. The kick from Yankee Stadium, 7 o'clock tonight. Big game. Atlanta United, really a must-win game if they're going to end up with the number one seed. Atlanta United against NYCFC live on your home of the Five Stripes Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Well, as we lock into that game, as we lock into the Falcons' issues ahead of Tennessee, the Braves' postseason roster and whatnot, we tend to lose sight of some of the other stories, and that's what Sweet Tea is for. And Tanitra will have her dose of Sweet Tea for us next with John and Hugh on The Morning Show on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is the city.
Hey, Buford. It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Miss out on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Tanitra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, well, we get so pumped up about all these stories, and this is just one of the reasons we went to Tanitra and said, look, you got to help us out here because I know that we're going to miss stuff because she's back there not only doing updates, but she's scouring for all these kind of fun stories that we kind of lock in on, the Braves and the Falcons and the Hawks and the NFL and the this and the that, United and whatnot, college football, you name it. That we miss all these other kind of interesting little stories. And so a couple of times a week we say, help us out a little bit here.
Thanks, John. And yes, I also need you guys help from time to time when we have technical difficulties. So,
all right.
Technical, that's okay.
Yes, I love it and appreciate you guys for it. So I got a question. I'm going to start with Hugh and John. I want to come back to you and get your thoughts on this as well. But Hugh, what's the oddest thing you ever talked about in the huddle that you can repeat on air?
I used to, when me and Hollis were playing in the game, I used to, ask him about women that we would see in the stands, who was that and what she had on or stuff like that, and he would look at me.
Surprised.
No, I'm just saying we would do that, and he would like, man, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, we would be getting ready to call a blitz or whatever, call a play. I'm like, dang, dog, do you see old girl in the stands over there? She got on da-da-da. And I'm like, man, what the hell is wrong with you? I was all over the place. Like, I would be all over the place, and my mind would wander. I had a wandering mind. So, yeah.
Bless your
heart.
That
was some of the stuff.
Here's part two of that question. Did you actually huddle on defense? They used to do that back in the day.
We huddled, but it was like we huddled. Maybe like we say 42 swim or whatever, swim defense, whatever. And I say, okay, break. Wait a minute, what we just called? Like, that would
right.
be me.
And there you have
Wait
it,
minute,
John.
What?
There
what?
You
what?
Have
what
it.
What we just called? Yeah, I
and
had
see,
it bad.
For me, John, I love to hear when players are mic'd up. So let's see if we can get this sound to play so you guys can hear some fun things that happened in the huddle during the Cowboys-Dolphins game on Sunday. And just like clockwork, it's this not going to play, so I'm going to have to tell you guys about it. But hopefully you are following us on at 92.9 The Game, and we will definitely get that link up for you. And I'll just let you guys know basically what happened in that huddle. So, you know, if you're playing a team, and I'm sure you guys played the team back in the day, that you just kind of knew you already had that game before it ever started. And so you kind of had a little fun in the huddle, just like Dak Prescott, who was talking about, of all things during the Cowboys-Dolphins game, where he was going afterwards. He was telling his teammates that he thought he'd go and get that number four at Wendy's, that 4 for $4 that includes spicy chicken nuggets. Of course, they went on to beat the Dolphins 31-6.
In that game, you could do that. Right. Against the Dolphins, because I was about to say, was it playing the Dolphins? Because they're like a high school team.
Right, at this point, right. So, reboots, we know that's a big deal these days. You're seeing it all over TV, all over in the movie theaters. And I know that what's trending now is Jurassic World 3. John and I were talking about it this morning.
For what?
Universal Pictures is bringing back the original stars, Laura Dern, Sam Neill, Jeff Goldblum, with production set to start early next year. Now, for me, Jurassic Park is not a big deal. I'm not a fan, but my youngest nephew, Dylan, he loves dinosaurs.
What more
so
can you do with the dinosaurs?
Yeah, I don't
really
know.
What more can you
but
do
I'll
with the dinosaurs?
But I'll probably check it
out
with
Dylan. What new dinosaur are you going to bring out? What
I don't
new
know.
Dinosaur?
I don't know. But you know what? My nephew, Patrick, I got to kind of see if he's interested. But I'm not necessarily interested in another reboot for Jurassic Park. What I am interested in is a reboot of New Jack City. So supposedly, the Snowfall actor and filmmaker Malcolm M. Maze is set to write that script. It's supposed to come out, I think, in 2020. The original, of course, done by Mario Van Peebles with Wesley Snipes, Ice-T, Chris Rock, Alan Payne. Do you guys have a TV show or a movie that you want to see get a reboot?
I would probably say I would like to see Gremlins. I'd like them to reboot Gremlins.
Huh, that's an interesting call.
No, it was because I think somebody asked me about that. I said I would like them to see reboot Gremlins. But
Gremlins?
When I saw this New Jack City one, and they said it's a reboot, it was two different stories. It was two conflicting stories. One of them said it was a reboot. Mm-hmm. One of them said it's a sequel.
Yeah, and I wondered about that because you do have characters like Chris Rock's character, of course, is dead.
Dead.
Wesley
yeah.
Snipes' character
Everybody,
is
the
dead.
Yeah, the
so
Dunham
where
man,
do you go?
Dead.
Yeah, where do
Keisha,
you go with that?
Dead.
Yeah. Yeah, Alan Payne's character.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah.
Because
G Money?
Yeah, he killed it. Yeah, he killed his brother.
And
so, yeah,
my brother's keeper.
To see. It can't, so, yeah, it essentially can't be a remake. It's got to be a reboot.
Right.
John?
And here's the problem with reboots. Like, for example, the new Terminator reboot that's coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Linda Hamilton again.
Oh.
Right? So, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh. Yeah.
Next summer. Wait a second. We're losing timelines all over. The Terminator
right.
timeline has been lost.
Just yeah.
It's just totally
but,
lost.
But it's a moneymaker. It's
yeah,
a moneymaker.
Because you see it, and like John said, overnight, everything that was trending was about Jurassic Park. So reboots or remakes in that vein, it's just what people kind of
like the timeline in Rambo that you were talking about, Hugh, with all of a sudden he has a family.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but they did a great job of explaining that. Like, it's kind of like a family. But not really.
So you felt like that particular kind of
they explained it well enough for you to understand.
Okay, for you to feel like
there was still like a gap. It was a gap in time, but you know they did a pretty good job of.
I will say this: I think the best reboot that I've seen of a major franchise, mm-hmm. in other words, taking it and doing it again in a totally different but even greater fashion was Planet of the Apes.
Really?
Well, I mean, the first Planet of the Apes is one of the greatest films I've ever seen. It's a 5-star film. The rest of them, you know, were really kind of crappy. But the redos that they've done with these the new Planet of the Apes films have been so brilliantly done that it's an entirely different storyline, obviously, but very, very well done.
And Abe said he likes the new Star Wars trilogy. Feels like that's a pretty good.
How many times can we do Star Wars 2, though?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right.
Yeah. So, and just a quick shout out, you know, from time to time,
how many
we
times
all get
we gonna
it
blow up the Death Star? How many times are we gonna blow up the Death Star?
I don't know. Maybe they got that wrong.
Ridiculous.
It's just but sometimes we all get things wrong, of course, and we can acknowledge it. We can be the bigger man, if you will, or the bigger woman. But 50 plus years ago, the U.S. Olympic Committee really kind of gave it to Tommy Smith and John Carlos for taking a stand at that time against racism and discrimination. They were banished from the Mexico City Olympics team. And really, now that committee's coming back to a mea culpa of sorts. So on November 1st, Smith and Carlos will be inducted into the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Hall of Fame. an honor bestowed because of their character, conduct, and off-field contributions.
Unwavering.
As well as their athletic achievements. So just want to acknowledge them and congratulate them for being, or their forthcoming induction into the Olympic and Paralympic
they've been,
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the Olympics were the ones, though. I mean, I think the U.S. is, they've been in like the U.S. Track Hall of Fame, I think.
They got an ESPY, too, in what, 08?
They yes, they, ESPYs, right. They and there's actually the an incredible one. Documentary out on them. It's amazing. I think ESPN may have done that as well,
We get caught up in our little world about what's going on around us right now with all the tension that's coming out of D.C. and whatnot.
Yeah.
Go back. I was alive in 1968.
Yeah.
Well, when that happened,
man, that
year, like that, yeah,
Vietnam, MLK, putting that RFK, fist,
and that was the thing. The article, great article, and we'll tweet that out for you guys as well. Gives you this incredible timeline to John's point of what was going on. But yeah, back then, putting that fist up with the black
and
glove
that,
and the shoes off, you know,
all
pretty,
of that.
Yeah, pretty brave. But yeah, coming full circle with
makes
it.
What we're doing today seemed like just petty BS, frankly. To be honest, college football around the corner. Who's the biggest threat to Alabama in the SEC West? Is it LSU or is it Auburn?
Go Tigers.
And, well, that's pretty broad there. I mean, it could go either way. But no. It's a
G-E-A-U-X does not go anywhere but in Louisiana.
We'll do that next on The Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.